There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live, presented by Mazda.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of College Football Live. Matt Schick along with Todd McShay and David Pollack. Two of the three of us played college football. The other one is talking right now. Alabama fans are hoping that Tua Tagovailoa will play some college football coming up on November 9th when the Tide hosts LSU. A little more than a week removed from tightrope surgery to repair his high ankle sprain, Tua is back at practice. Over the weekend on College Game Day on ESPN Radio, I asked the doctor who performed his surgery what to expect.
That's an important question that we always try to answer, which is, one, are you safe enough to play? Can you protect yourself? Can you do the things that you need to do to, one, avoid re-injury to, for example, in these cases, the ankle itself, and avoid injury to another area? So are you safe enough to play? And then two, effectiveness. You know, I'm not a football coach, so I don't make the decisions from a football standpoint. But from a medical standpoint, they got to be safe enough to protect themselves.
Dr. Waldrop said they also have a GPS tracking to determine and evaluate how they're doing in their recovery as well relative
what does that mean
before the
surgery.
What
does
surgery.
That mean to be
I don't
safe
know.
Enough
he just,
for football?
To be safe enough to play versus 100%. It is.
People hit me, and they land on my legs, and they hit me all over the place. And what does that mean? I'm confused.
I guess we're never truly healthy enough to play a dangerous sport like that. But let me ask you this, David Pollack. Are you surprised that Tua is already back at practice?
Yes, because last year, Todd, remember the Home Depot award show? He's in a boot and in a cart and like kind of scooting around and was still, this feels like, you know, at the game on Saturday, you saw him. He was, you know, walking around and being a part of it. So it definitely, you know, it can come back fast. This is still a tightrope. It's still a very new procedure. College football now, this is not one, but the second one. And he's going to be back, and I'm sure he'll give it a good try. But I just can't imagine him being 100%, Tom.
No, he's not going to be 100%. And he wasn't last year. And we had the Missouri game where he got injured. And you know, from that point on, he really wasn't the same quarterback. And I don't think it all had to do with the injury, but sometimes it's psychological. You know, sometimes it's just being in your own head. I don't want to take the hit. I don't want to, you know, put myself at further risk. And also, you start to then, if you're not driving off the correct foot and you're not following through, then your mechanics start to fall off, and it's just not the same. And I think we saw that from Tua a year ago. So it's going to be interesting to see a year later, with a similar kind of injury, how he's going to handle all of this.
Todd, it's interesting. Nick Saban on Wednesday officially said Tua is a game-time decision. How surprised would you be if he did not play against LSU?
I mean, I couldn't be more surprised about anything all season long. He's going to play. There's no question about it. And they're going to say game-time decision. Any competitor is going to try to make sure that LSU is going to have to prepare for two different quarterbacks. They're not completely different in terms of style, but you want to make sure that you keep that option open. And I think every coach in the country would do the same thing. But, Dave, maybe I'm completely off on this, but I would be absolutely shocked if 13's not under center or taking the shotgun snap and the first snap for Alabama on the offensive side of the ball against LSU. And what I think is the biggest game of the entire college football season.
I like how you changed that because nobody's under center anymore. It doesn't happen anymore.
Right, I had to switch it up.
We don't do that anymore. We're spread football all the time. You know what? Listen, here's another thing. Here's another angle to this, guys. If I was playing Vanderbilt and I was banged up, I'm trying to get back. I'm a competitor. I went to college to play football. I want to be out there. Sometimes trainers and coaches have to protect me from me because sometimes I'm going to go hurt myself. I'll never forget playing in the Music City Bowl, by the way, which means jack squat. And you got people skipping bowl games all the time. I sprained my MCL in the first half. At halftime, they take my pads and they say, "You're done." I go, "Why?" And they go, because you're at more risk now to tearing your ACL. I go, so what? I got all offseason to recover. Literally. So you have to protect our competitors and people that want to be in the huddle from themselves. And it's going to be interesting to monitor Tua and if he gets back in there, because there's no doubt when you injure something, you're that much more susceptible. And if he gets hit again, it's going to be serious pain and it's going to set him back again and then again. And then you're going to look up and the whole season might be gone for Tua with his ankle. So they got to be careful.
Yeah, he's a game time decision, which you have to translate to. He'll be ready at game time, but ready could be a relative term. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. Let's take a look here at a Capital One fan vote in terms of who should be number one. The results are in, and it appears LSU fans have very good internet access. 46% of votes are for the Tigers. Bama is third. Ohio State sitting there at second.
Bama
the
fans, where are you at? Come on.
Right? Come on. The Buckeyes have a defensive player who is second to none, Chase Young. Tied in Ohio State's single-game record with 4 sacks against Wisconsin. 13.5 sacks this season, a half sack away from tying for the most in school history. 5 forced fumbles. The buzz about Chase Young's Heisman candidacy continues to grow louder and louder. David, are these numbers that he is putting up as a defensive lineman sustainable enough to continue to build momentum to New York?
These numbers are not sustainable for mortals. Okay, mortals can't sustain these numbers. I am not convinced that Chase Young is not a something. I don't know what kind of Megatron, what kind of Transformer he is.
A something.
It's something subhuman. So, yeah, I mean, he's always there. He's disruptive. And by the way, try to double team him. Try to use a tight end. Head scratcher there, Paul Chris. Don't get that one. But try to use whatever you can to slow him down. He's got too much technique with speed, with bend, with athleticism. It's just not, it's not normal. And I'll argue this. Nick Bosa was special and really good and doing great in the NFL. He's better than Nick Bosa was at Ohio State. You can send the hate mail at me. That's fine. At me. But he is, because he's a better athlete, and I think he can bend better. So it's just crazy. I don't see it slowing down that much, and he should be the Heisman winner because he's number one in the Heisman right now.
Well, two of my favorite players in the last decade, Nick and Joey Bosa. And I've listened to NFL GMs tell me, oh, he didn't run a 4.6, he didn't run a 1.61 10-yard split, all this stuff. And I watched those two guys, and you know this better than anyone, Pollock. These guys know how to rush the quarterback. They play with leverage. The Boses were amazing. I agree. Chase Young's better. He's better. And it's amazing to watch it because he's using some of the same techniques. He's getting better every single week, I think, in terms of his hands, moving his feet, and tying his hands and his feet together as a pass rusher. I finally did it. You've been saying it for a couple weeks.
Hey!
You annoy me, and I love you. And I finally put Chase Young at number one ahead of all these hot quarterbacks that everyone wants to talk about, from Tua to Justin to Burrow to Eason all the way down. But Chase, to me, is like a one in a decade type of player. And I told you, I've been fighting for the Boses for the last few years. But just watch. It's not just the ability. It's the effort, too. Here you go on a screen. Fighting back to get in the play. He doesn't have to get back in that play. And then now, you got a double team. You got the offensive tackle. We're working a little game here. And then the running back comes in. I think it was Jonathan Taylor on that play. Beats both of them and gets the sack. That's one of 4 sacks. It's just play after play. Even when he's not making the play, he's taking 2 or 3 players. It's so much fun to watch. I know. I love you too, bud.
I heart you because in the day and age, and by the way, we've been talking about this. I don't know if y'all are just new watchers to the show. Welcome aboard. Join. It's really fun every week. Wednesdays, we always talk, and Todd always has this awesome board. And Chase Young has been behind these awesome quarterbacks that everybody wants
to talk about.
But
yep.
Finally. He put him where we belong, right at the top of the board.
You were right. You were right. I was wrong.
Man.
You're good looking. I'm ugly. You're smart. I'm dumb. I get it.
Boy, that has got to sting, McShay. That has got to sting. Not only putting him one,
but he was right from day one. This dude's special.
He could be the third defensive lineman since 2014 to be taken number one overall. Up next, in the future, players like Chase Young may not have to wait until they turn pro to begin profiting off their name, image, and likeness. What the latest NCAA announcement means for college athletes. And what does K-State's upset win over Oklahoma mean for the Big 12 in terms of the college football playoff? This is College Football Live.
College Football Live is presented by Mazda. Feel alive. Welcome to College Football Live, presented by Mazda.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of College Football Live. Matt Schick along with Todd McShay and David Pollack. Two of the three of us played college football. The other one is talking right now. Alabama fans are hoping that Tua Tagovailoa will play some college football coming up on November 9th when the Tide hosts LSU. A little more than a week removed from tightrope surgery to repair his high ankle sprain, Tua is back at practice. Over the weekend on College Game Day on ESPN Radio, I asked the doctor who performed his surgery what to expect.
That's an important question that we always try to answer, which is, one, are you safe enough to play? Can you protect yourself? Can you do the things that you need to do to, one, avoid re-injury to, for example, in these cases, the ankle itself, and avoid injury to another area? So are you safe enough to play? And then two, effectiveness. You know, I'm not a football coach, so I don't make the decisions from a football standpoint. But from a medical standpoint, they got to be safe enough to protect themselves.
Dr. Waldrop said they also have a GPS tracking to determine and evaluate how they're doing in their recovery as well, relative.
What does that mean? What does that mean to be safe enough for football?
To be safe enough to play versus 100%. It is.
People hit me and they land on my legs and they hit me all over the place. And what does that mean? I'm confused.
I guess we're never truly healthy enough to play a dangerous sport like that. But let me ask you this, David Pollack. Are you surprised that Tua is already back at practice?
Yes, because last year, Todd, remember at the Home Depot Awards show? He's in a boot and in a cart and like kind of scooting around and was still, this feels like, you know, at the game on Saturday, you saw him. He was, you know, walking around and being a part of it. So it definitely, you know, he can come back fast. This is still a tightrope. It's still a very new procedure. College football, now this is not one, but the second one. And he's going to be back, and I'm sure he'll give it a good try. But I just can't imagine him being 100%, Tom.
No, he's not going to be 100%. And he wasn't last year. And we had the Missouri game where he got injured. And you know, from that point on, he really wasn't the same quarterback. And I don't think it all had to do with the injury, but sometimes it's psychological. You know, sometimes it's just being in your own head. I don't want to take the hit. I don't want to, you know, put myself at further risk. And also, you start to then, if you're not driving off the correct foot and you're not following through, then your mechanics start to fall off, and it's just not the same. And I think we saw that from Tua a year ago. So it's going to be interesting to see a year later, with a similar kind of injury, how he's going to handle all of this.
Todd, it's interesting. Nick Saban on Wednesday officially said Tua is a game-time decision. How surprised would you be if he did not play against LSU?
I mean, I couldn't be more surprised about anything all season long. He's going to play. There's no question about it. And they're going to say game-time decision. Any competitor is going to try to make sure that LSU is going to have to prepare for two different quarterbacks. They're not completely different in terms of style, but you want to make sure that you keep that option open. And I think every coach in the country would do the same thing. But, Dave, maybe I'm completely off on this, but I would be absolutely shocked if 13's not under center or taking the shotgun snap and the first snap for Alabama on the offensive side of the ball against LSU. And what I think is the biggest game of the entire college football season.
I like how you changed that because nobody's under center anymore. It doesn't happen anymore.
Right, I have to switch it up.
We don't do that anymore. We're spread football all the time. You know what? Listen, here's another thing. Here's another angle to this, guys. If I was playing Vanderbilt and I was banged up, I'm trying to get back. I'm a competitor. I went to college to play football. I want to be out there. sometimes trainers and coaches have to protect me from me because sometimes I'm going to go hurt myself. I'll never forget playing in the Music City Bowl, by the way, which means jack squat. And you got people skipping bowl games all the time. I sprained my MCL in the first half. At halftime, they take my pads and they say, you're done. I go, why? And they go, because you're at more risk now to tearing your ACL. I go, so what? I got all offseason to recover. Literally. So you have to protect our competitors and people that want to be in the huddle from themselves. And it's going to be interesting to monitor Tua and if he gets back in there. Because there's no doubt when you injure something, you're that much more susceptible. And if he gets hit again, it's going to be serious pain and it's going to set him back again and then again. And then you're going to look up and the whole season might be gone for Tua with his ankle. So they got to be careful.
Yeah, he's a game time decision, which you have to translate to. He'll be ready at game time, but ready could be a relative term. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. Let's take a look here at a Capital One fan vote in terms of who should be number one. The results are in, and it appears LSU fans have very good internet access. 46% of votes are for the Tigers. Bama is third. Ohio State sitting there at second.
Bama fans, where are you at? Come on.
Right? Come on. The Buckeyes have a defensive player who is second to none, Chase Young. Tied in Ohio State's single-game record with 4 sacks against Wisconsin. 13.5 sacks this season, a half sack away from tying for the most in school history. 5 forced fumbles. The buzz about Chase Young's Heisman candidacy continues to grow louder and louder. David, are these numbers that he is putting up as a defensive lineman sustainable enough to continue to build momentum to New York?
These numbers are not sustainable for mortals, okay? Mortals can't sustain these numbers. I am not convinced that Chase Young is not a something. I don't know what kind of Megatron, what kind of Transformer he is.
A something.
It's something subhuman. So, yeah, I mean, he's always there. He's disruptive. And by the way, try to double team him. Try to use a tight end. Head scratcher there, Paul Chris. Don't get that one. But try to use whatever you can to slow him down. He's got too much technique with speed, with bend, with athleticism. It's just not, it's not normal. And I'll argue this. Nick Bosa was special and really good and doing great in the NFL. He's better than Nick Bosa was at Ohio State. You can send the hate mail at me. That's fine. At me. But he is, because he's a better athlete, and I think he can bend better. So it's just crazy. I don't see it slowing down that much, and he should be the Heisman winner because he's number one in the Heisman right now.
Well, two of my favorite players in the last decade, Nick and Joey Bosa. And I've listened to NFL GMs tell me, oh, he didn't run a 4.6, he didn't run a 1.61 10-yard split, all this stuff. And I watched those two guys, and you know this better than anyone, Pollock. These guys know how to rush the quarterback. They play with leverage. The Boses were amazing. I agree. Chase Young's better. He's better. And it's amazing to watch it because he's using some of the same techniques. He's getting better every single week, I think, in terms of his hands, moving his feet, and tying his hands and his feet together as a pass rusher. I finally did it. You've been saying it for a couple weeks. Hey! You annoy me, and I love you. And I finally put Chase Young at number one ahead of all these hot quarterbacks that everyone wants to talk about, from Tua to Justin to Burrow to Eason all the way down. But Chase, to me, is like a one in a decade type of player. And I told you, I've been fighting for the Boses for the last few years. But just watch. It's not just the ability. It's the effort, too. Here you go on a screen. Fighting back to get in the play. He doesn't have to get back in that play. And then now, you got a double team. You got the offensive tackle. We're working a little game here. And then the running back comes in. I think it was Jonathan Taylor on that play. Beats both of them and gets the sack. That's one of 4 sacks. It's just play after play. Even when he's not making the play, he's taking 2 or 3 players. It's so much fun to watch. I know. I love you too, bud.
I heart you because in the day and age, and by the way, we've been talking about this. I don't know if y'all are just new watchers to the show. Welcome aboard. Join. It's really fun every week. Wednesdays, we always talk, and Todd always has this awesome board. And Chase Young has been behind these awesome quarterbacks that everybody wants
to
talk about.
But yep.
Finally, he put him where We belong right at the top of the board.
You were right. You were right. I was wrong.
Man.
You're good looking. I'm ugly. You're smart. I'm dumb. I get it.
Boy, that has got to sting, McShay. That has got to sting. Not only putting him one,
but he was right from day one. This dude's special.
He could be the third defensive lineman since 2014 to be taken number one overall. Up next in the future, players like Chase Young may not have to wait until they turn pro to begin profiting off their name, image, and likeness. What the latest NCAA announcement means for college athletes. And what does K-State's upset win over Oklahoma mean for the Big 12 in terms of the college football playoff? This is College Football Live.
College Football Live is presented by Mazda. Feel alive. Welcome back to College Football Live, presented by Mazda.
Now playing on ESPN, Monday NFC East Rivals Clash. And on Tuesday, a huge college hoops doubleheader bracketing the season debut of the College Football Playoff Ranking Show. Watch live on ESPN and the ESPN app.
Well, from now playing to now paying, sort of, the NCAA releasing a statement on Tuesday reading in part, in the association's continuing efforts to support college athletes, the NCAA's top governing board voted unanimously to permit students participating in athletics the opportunity to benefit from the use of their name, image, and likeness in a manner consistent with the collegiate model. Back here on College Football, obviously a huge starting point. It may not be until 2021 when we actually have an idea of what this actually means.
Do you have an idea of what that statement means?
David,
statement even mean?
We'll get back to you. We're working on it. We'll just let you know we're aware. But what do you think it means, David?
We heard about the California thing, bro. We're on board. We realize we got to do something about it. Yep. How about you just release something in English? Like, release something that we're on board and give me some parameters and say what you're thinking. That's literally a statement that somebody typed up to go, yeah, we're going to kind of dip our toes in there a little bit, but don't say anything. But we're going to do it, but don't give any detail. I mean, that...
Todd, what do you think without spitting?
How do you follow up on that? I love it, by the way. I think at least it's a first step. At least we're getting some forward momentum. And I'm not trying to be political here because we've talked about it for weeks. I think players need to get more money, and anything in their likeness, they should make money off of. I have completely agreed with that from the beginning. The tricky part is, and I don't know who's going to govern this, and I don't trust the NCAA to handle it. I'm just going to be flat out honest. I think there needs to be an independent group that comes in and says, okay, here are the bylaws. Here's how we're going to handle agents. Here's how we're going to handle agents not going into a 12-year-old's house and trying to recruit him and say, yeah, we're just going to handle your likeness and all those things. And then also, I don't want to see players get suspended because there's so many gray areas in all of this. And we've just got to know the black and white with what they're trying to say. We've got to find out a way to do it the proper way, where players can get money and not be at risk for, you know, negative things to happen to them.
And I want them to protect the players from themselves. And listen, I'm putting myself back in these shoes, and I know this bothers people when they have the right to do whatever they want. I was stupid at 18 and 19 and 20 years
me
old.
Too.
And if I got money, whoa, that thing gone, boy. I mean, I'm getting rid of it. I'm buying whatever I want, a car. Who wants to party? Who wants to do this? Like, I would love to find a way for these kids to maximize this, but somebody take 50% of it and invest it or put it in a trust or try to find some way to do that, because, golly, it could be a huge nest egg for some of these kids after they got their free education, after they got
their... The smartest thing you've ever said on this show, Pollock, is protect themselves from themselves. Honestly, we joke around with each other a lot and we have a lot of fun. That is the smartest thing that I've heard on this show in a long time. If we can find a way to protect young men from themselves, because we all were young and dumb. We all were. Yeah. And if someone were able to say, you know what, in 10 years, when you're going to have maybe a wife and some kids and try to buy a home and there's going to be some kind of investment for you, that to me makes the most sense of anything I've heard from all this nonsense.
And it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that recruiting aspect as well. How do you enforce something where it's not?
Well, it's a good thing we have strict rules, though. We're good to go because they gave us good parameters and a lot of clarity. So we're probably going to come out the box firing now.
I'm glad you have the confidence in the NCAA because I could read into your feelings about that. But yeah, the payments and all that stuff is already happening. We'll see if the NCAA can do anything about that. Back to the field of play as we take a look at this week's college football rankings brought to you by Goodyear. It'll be 1-2 on November 9th as LSU takes the top spot in the AP poll. Oklahoma falls to 10th with its loss to Kansas State. The Sooners lost, snapped the 22-game true road game win streak, the second longest in the AP poll era. David, what concerns you the most about Oklahoma moving forward?
Well, listen, we know no matter what the style of offense is, they're going to be great. Defensively, they are improved, and they have more of an identity. But I still think because of their limitations a little bit, they do a lot of stunting and moving up front. And watch what Kansas State did. They did a great job handling movement. But by the way, 72 right there just pulled to the right, crossed over, came back left. That's a phenomenal play design by Kleiman and company. That is just gorgeous. But the physical nature of coming downhill in that ground game, are they going to continue to be able to do? Look here. By the way, that's a fullback in the offense. Those do exist. They're dinosaurs, but they're still out there. And how do you play against this? That fullback looks like he's about to ISO me in the grill. And what was it? Death by a thousand cuts. Time of possession, Kansas State almost, it was almost 40 to 20. It was almost doubled up, kept the ball away. Oklahoma's better defensively and they have more of a plan. Still not creating turnovers, still not phenomenal in the back end to play enough man coverage and commit more guys to the box. So that Oklahoma defense is still got a little bit of things to cover up.
Yeah, now if I had to guess, I would have thought that it would have been maybe Jalen Hurts. If a team shut down the run game, that he would have been the issue. Completed 73% of his throws, one touchdown, no interceptions. I think it was 15 yards per attempt. And they, you know, they did everything they had to do on the offensive side. It's just defensively, they took a step backwards. And give Kansas State a little bit of credit too, as you just did in that. They came out, they knew exactly how to attack, and they executed a really good plan.
And they got down early. That was crazy. Like, they got down 10-0 like that, and they didn't blink. They just kept fighting.
Yeah, one-point game at the half, and then they really pulled away in that third quarter. Lone remaining Big 12 unbeaten. Baylor takes on West Virginia coming up Thursday night on ESPN. Bears. Up next, there's a lot on the line when Florida and Georgia meet. McShay and Pollock will tell you who needs to step up for their team to be in control in the SEC East.
Yeah, what a good ball.
Come on.
Stand up.
Here we go.
Stand up.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest
marquee game
every week on College Game Day.
College Football Live is presented by Mazda. Feel alive.
UFC 244, Madison Square Garden. Main event on pay-per-view has Jorge Masvidal taking on Nate Diaz in a battle of welterweight starting at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. ESPN2 and ESPN Deportes. We've got your prelims starting at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. The National Football Foundation announced their 12 finalists for the William V. Campbell Trophy, which annually recognizes an individual as the absolute best football scholar-athlete in the nation for his combined academic success, football performance, and exemplary leadership. Past winners include Christian Wilkins, Tim Tebow, and Peyton Manning, Rodrigo Blankenship, Justin Herbert among the finalists. ExxonMobil's Unexpected Energy has us looking at Jacksonville for the top 10 matchup of Georgia-Florida. A Georgia win gives the Dogs an 85% chance to win the SEC East, while a Florida win gives the Gators a 98% chance to play in the conference championship game, according to our Football Power Index. David Pollock, who are you looking to find that energy from? Who needs to step up in this game?
Yeah, you could try to find somebody at the Georgia wide receiver position. And Cager has been their guy, but he's been dinged up and not completely healthy yet. Dominic Blaylock's a guy that he can make big plays from the slot. He's got good size. He doesn't look like he's as big as he is height-wise, but he's about 6'1", but he's only about 200 pounds. He can fly. Jake Fromm needs to continue to develop with his guys on the outside, and somebody is going to have to step up, and it's going to be young guys because Georgia is exceptionally young at the wide receiver position.
Todd?
Yeah, on the other side of the ball, I'm going to go with a tight end. You know, I'm always looking for matchup pieces, guys who can create mismatches. And when you watch Kyle Pitts and what he's able to do, he's 6'6", 240 yep. pounds, huge catch radius. In SEC games this year, he's had at least four catches in all of those games and five for 108 against LSU. So he's a player that they can move around, utilize him in terms of his athleticism and size, and try to create some mismatches against the safeties and linebackers for Georgia. Watch out for Pitts. Obviously, Kyle Trask is going to need to utilize all of his receivers, but Pitts, to me, is going to be a big-time factor in that game.
Well, Georgia-Florida, one of two ranked matchups this weekend. The other is SMU and Memphis. Game day is going to be there, Memphis in the morning, 7:30 Eastern for the game, 4:30 Pacific on ABC and the ESPN app. All right, enough about football rankings. Time to talk about something that's very important. Today is National Candy Corn Day. Tomorrow is Halloween. So Todd McShay and I, we've got our candy power rankings, our candy selection committee top four. We put these together here. We each have Reese's. McShay's got candy corn. I got Twix. Take five. Very well done. Very underrated, McShay.
Very underrated, right? It takes someone who doesn't eat. It takes someone who doesn't eat apples and bananas and almonds all day long, like someone who we're working with today, to understand this list. Yeah. Candy corn, you kind of just got to throw it in. It's Halloween.
You got it at one. Well, you didn't throw it in. You put it at one.
Pause. You're not allowed to talk in this segment.
Okay.
I'm a Reese's guy. Like, I can't have a piece of chocolate. Oh, my goodness.
We do have your top 10 things that you're going to hand out on Halloween. Headlined by the toothbrush, apple, no caramel.
I hope that not one single child shows up to the Pollock House. Not one.
You got raisins, pennies, sadness at seven. That's a good thing you always hand out there on Halloween.
That is not my list. I did not do that, just for clarity. But yogurt-covered raisins is good.
Have fun Halloween, bud.
We'll see on Halloween, or as Pollock calls it, Thursday.